Good morning, church. It's good to see you this morning. I was going to make a comment, Nate, but he's disappeared. Dave, thank you for your leadership in the prayer portion this morning. It was a powerful time, and the Lord's presence could be felt in this place. Are people in the back hearing me okay this morning? Okay. We thank the worship team, greet the people. Want to speak a little bit more, but briefly, as far as prayer, encouraging personal prayer and corporate prayer. That's going to be the key for us, for this church, as we move forward in pursuing the vision that the Lord has for us. And that is still a current and a continuing emphasis for us. The vision becoming a lighthouse to the community, the mission of fulfilling the Great Commission, that whole business of prayer, revival, and outreach, the importance of those things and the integral part that they play in this whole process. And I would refer back to the August 2nd sermon, but also other ones as well since then, and encourage people to listen if you haven't listened to them, to listen again if you have, and to do so on multiple times. And those of you who take notes, to keep them and have them together, and you can have them available when you're listening to the recordings. Those of you who don't take notes, I would encourage you to consider doing so. And not because I'm going to have anything particularly profound to say when I'm up here in the pulpit, but because of the work that the Lord is doing through me and within this church and on behalf of the church and its future and the vision. So I would encourage that. I was going to comment, but you left us briefly. Thank you for sharing this morning. I can't begin to imagine what you guys went through for those 20 years. I just can't. But I believe the Lord must have a special place in heaven for you and Mary. And tell her, please, that we missed her this morning, but are thinking about her and praying for her as well. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I skipped one part, and I apologize for that. No, I guess I didn't. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I think this fits what you were sharing this morning. Keeping in mind that the Lord is our shepherd. And be mindful that he is who he is, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Almighty God and Prince of Peace and Wonderful Counselor, our Provider, our Healer, our Deliverer, our Savior, our All in All. First and the last, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, and the list goes on and on and on of names that we have for him, that we have for the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God, names that give us portions of his character, of his personality, and to know the maker, the maintainer of the universe, all that ever was, is, and ever shall be, is our shepherd. Our shepherd, your shepherd and my shepherd. And translation for that word, by the way, is pastor. which is why pastors are referred to as they are, as shepherds, as under-shepherds of the Lord. The Lord is my shepherd. You know, we see pictures of him with a lamb draped over his shoulders. We also see pictures of him with a lamb right here, right next to his heart, that he's holding close as he's walking with that lamb. You can feel the hug of the Lord. That lamb can, right next to the Lord's heart. And I just think it is a wonderful, beautiful, fantastic picture and image of one of the ways the Lord is to us, one of the roles that he plays in our lives, one of the areas of responsibility, if you will, that he has for us. The Lord is my shepherd. And it's difficult for me at a time like this to even move forward into the other verses to talk about them, because I just get stuck right there. And even before the shepherd part, just the Lord. The Lord. The wonderful, mighty Master. Our Lord, our Savior, our King. And he wants to have intimate fellowship with us. He wants to have communion with us. He wants to hang around with us. Or we could put it the other way, he would like to have us hang around with him, to be in his presence. We talked about prayer quite a bit so far in my time here at the church, and we will continue to do so. And whether it's later this morning or if we go into a part two because of time, we will pray the 23rd Psalm. One of the best portions of Scripture for that purpose. We need to be reminded who God is and what he is, and who and what we are, and he's God and we're not. Some of us sometimes can be prideful without even realizing and thinking we're pretty hot stuff, and we're doing a good job, we're good people. And we take care of business, we take care of the Lord's business. Then if we look a little more closely, we see that little things have snuck in to our thinking, gathered here in our hearts, and getting in the way of our prayers, getting in the way of our perceptions, getting in the way of our progress and our walk with the Lord. And so I'm reminded of Scripture that talks about being humble and being humble before the Lord, and that we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and how he views the prideful and the humble. And if we don't take care of that, he'll take care of it with us and for us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. It doesn't mean I shall not desire, but when it says want in this context, it's saying I shall not lack. I shall not be without. I will not have to do without. Not wants and desires and hopes and wishes and that kind of thing, but true, legitimate needs. In Philippians 4:19, my God has promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Not some of them, not many of them, not most of them, but all of our needs. And because he blesses us so out of his love and also his grace and his mercy, he gives us extra things anyway, things that we do want, that we would hope for, that we would desire, that we would wish for, that we think would be neat or nice or wonderful or whatever. He gives us those things too. As a father likes to lavish upon his children. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. And this relates very clearly and directly and specifically to the trust that Nate was talking about this morning. Because we can trust the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has promised, and I've said it from here before, he has promised to never leave us or forsake us. His word tells us that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, and I've said that before. But those scriptures are worth repeating. They're true. They're legitimate. They have much value for us. He's with us for the long haul. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon. And he's promised to complete the work that he's begun in us. And that's the process that we're going through. So the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We can count on him to take care of us, to provide for us, to protect us, to be our shepherd, our good shepherd, to hold us close to his breast, to his chest, to his heart. Makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. The Holy Spirit's at work here too, is at play in this whole thing, is part of the provision, part of the protection, part of that peace of God that surpasses all understanding that's talked about elsewhere in Scripture and in Philippians also. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. What a calm picture that is. What a calming experience it is when we allow the Lord to have his way with us in this way, in this manner, and to take us to the side and quiet us, to quiet our bodies, our souls, our spirits. Love the beginning of the third verse. He restores my soul. He restores my soul, my mind, the psyche, the psuche, the thoughts, the emotions, the free will with choices and consequences. He restores it all. He restores it all, settles us down, calms us, quiets our souls, our spirits, gives us an abundance of that peace of his. I shared a bit from the pulpit previously about an experience that I had a number of years ago. It was actually in June in 1987, only a couple of months after I was saved, and a terrible automobile accident over in Genesee County. A number of students were killed and the driver and instructor, drunk driver hitting them head on and excessive 80 miles an hour. And I was involved in a good amount of the aftermath of that experience. And part of it was being at the school the day after the accident, after I had encouraged the superintendent to keep the schools open. He was going to close them because exams were going to begin the following week, and he thought that would be a good idea, to be best, and people could just be home and just rest and try to begin the recovery. And when he called me, I strongly encouraged him to keep the schools open because they were the center. Well, in the church that was the center, but the church was the center of that community. And he listened and kept them open. And I was at an assembly the next day, and the place was packed. And that's the one where the Lord gave me the revelation of hell that I've shared here. But it was just a brutal, brutal time emotionally. And I was there all that day and very spent. And I got back to my office about 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the afternoon. And just feeling awful. And so I called the pastor, my pastor at the time of the church that Bonnie and I attended, and told him that I needed to get into the church, which was locked. And I needed to get in there, and I needed to spend time there with the Lord. And would he join me? And he had to go to Buffalo. This was coming out of Batavia, Genesee County. And he couldn't do it, but he said he would arrange with the secretary to get the church open for me, and that I could go in and do whatever I was going to do. And I was there for some time, just still before the Lord. It was very quiet, it was very peaceful, just like it is now, like it was earlier during our prayer time. I don't have the lavalier mic on. And I was kneeling at the altar and crying out to the Lord. And as I knelt there, I could feel layer after layer after layer after layer after layer. There's a word for it, and I just can't think what the word is, a fabric. But a gauze-like material just coming down over me and going down, passing right through me, one after another, after another, after another, after another, until I was filled with this. And you can't tell, but I have chills as I'm telling you. And this tremendous peace of the Lord settled over me and within me. And I had never had that kind of peace in my life before. And I've had similar experiences since. But that's probably the most powerful of like experiences in that regard as far as peace that I've ever had in my life. And the Lord, my shepherd, was taking care of one of his lambs, of one of his sheep, and providing that peace that I so sorely needed. My emotions were just in shreds, just raw, because of the pain and the agony and the suffering that went with that whole horrific automobile crash and the aftermath. He will never leave us or forsake us. He is with us always until the end of the age. He has promised to meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. He is faithful. We are not, sometimes, but he is always faithful, always faithful. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, and we're looking here in terms of direction and discipline for him, or from him rather, as Christians, being Christ-like, Christ in us, the hope of glory, hopefully shining forth as we would allow that, as we would enable that to occur. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And notice that it says walk through. It doesn't say that we stay there. It doesn't say that we get stuck there. It doesn't say we can't get out of there. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And in my mind, it reminds me of when our Lord said to disciples after he had spent the day teaching and preaching, healing people, come, let us go over to the other side of the lake. He didn't say, let's get in the lake. Let's spend time out on the lake. He said, let us go over to the other side. And I'm referring to the time when that horrible storm came up and the disciples thought they were drowning, that the boat was going to get swamped. It was going to go over. They were going to go down. And they were done. And went back to him in the back and in the stern of the boat and asked him about whether or not he cared what was happening. And of course, we know, and peace be still. And the wind stopped and the waves settled down and was smooth as glass, and they went to the other side. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you, or King James, thou art with me. So I'm not in this alone. You are not in this alone. We are not in this alone. We are not alone in the whole process for this church and what the Lord would have for this church and of this church. I've become aware that this church came pretty close, apparently, to going under not too long ago as a consequence of a whole bunch of stuff that had happened over time, none of which is what the Lord wants. I will be here on the fourth Sunday in December, and unless the Lord changes it, The sermon is for, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord," as we go into, as we're on the verge or the cusp of the new year. The Good Shepherd will see this church through to the point and the place and the position that he has for it. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." Why? Because you are with me. Notice the shift. We end verse 3, go into verse 4. It ends, or it shifts from the psalmist talking about the Lord and relationship with him, talking about the Lord in the third person, like I'm talking about him now. And then it shifts to a first person back and forth for you. Not he is my shepherd. He is. Lord, you are my shepherd. I will not fear. I do not fear you. You are with me. Your rod, your staff, they comfort me. The rod for correction, the staff for protection. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. For you are with me. And again, still, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Maker, the Maintainer, the Master of the universe, Almighty God, is our shepherd. And he wants relationship with us beyond what we can even think or imagine. But so often we don't give him the time of day, or precious little. And yet, just as with our finances, 10% isn't his. It's all his, and we give back to him but a portion. The time isn't ours. The time is his. Not some of it, all of it. But how much do we really give to him, dedicate to him, commit to him, consecrate to him? We are not our own. And it reminds me of scripture, and I've quoted that in here too. Do you not know you are not your own? You were bought and paid for with a price. Well, the price was his dead body hanging from the cross. The suffering and dying that he went through so that we would not experience eternal separation from him, and the pain and the suffering and the anguish that that entails, and that goes on and on and on and on. I've told you, I've looked into hell, I've seen it. You don't want to go there. And we want to try to keep as many people from there as we possibly can. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies," part of that provision. It's been mentioned, talked about a bit. "You anoint my head with oil," and being mindful that oil symbolizes, represents the Holy Spirit. "My cup runs over." Why? Because there is so much goodness and mercy and grace and kindness and faithfulness and love that he showers upon us again and again and again and again. So, of course, our cups have to run over. They can't not. "Surely goodness and mercy," and those are two of the traits, two of the characteristics of the Lord. It's really a reference to the Lord being with us, walking with us, being surrounded by him, being led by him, being directed by him, being guided by him. Him walking with us, that whole footprints business that we've talked about. "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Forever. Forever. That is such a powerful word. And we know the definition, but it's so difficult for our finite minds to grasp. I've lived nearly 79 years. Some of you fewer, maybe a couple of you a bit more. Sometimes it seems awfully, awfully long. But in the greater scheme of things, in the larger perspective, the larger picture, it's not much time at all. But heaven, going through those pearly gates and walking on those streets of gold, forever. Or going through the gates into hell. and the terrible horror and suffering that that entails forever and ever. I want to share briefly here. It's the Paraclete Psalter, a book of daily prayer. And I have seasons when I use this. And by way of testimony, this is from almost 10 years ago, my birthday, in 2011. Larry, I know that you love the Psalms. Enjoy this book of daily prayer as you pray the Psalms. And I've encouraged, and I will continue to encourage, as one of the ways of prayer, to pray certainly the Psalms, but to pray Scripture, fuller Scripture. As you pray the Psalms and grow closer to the Lord, happy birthday, honey, with all my love always, Bonnie. So she's a witness to many of the things that have happened in my life, certainly before the Lord, but I'm thinking especially since the conversion experience and my subsequent walk with him and the emphasis on prayer, which I continue to promote here. I'm not always successful, but I do attempt to practice what I preach, prayer-wise and otherwise. So anyway, it's just a short reference to the 23rd Psalm. And I want to share it with you. I like it, and it fits with what I've said and what will happen after this. The Lord is my shepherd. No other psalm, forgot about the mic, folks, I'm sorry. No other psalm has been copied, recited in worship, prayed in private, or set to music more than Psalm 23. The tones of rest and trust that permeate its six short verses strike a resonant chord in our hearts. For they describe that world of contentment and serenity for which we all long. It is not a world that exists out there somewhere. It is a world that exists because of someone. It is the world the Good Shepherd created for his sheep. The self-sacrificial love of the Good Shepherd and his limitless dedication to his sheep's well-being was a matter of common knowledge. The psalmist turns to this familiar pastoral image in order to describe the depth of attention that God gives to those under his care. There is an interesting transition in the midst of this song, and I made reference to it. In the first three verses, the psalmist addresses his hearers as he describes the all-sufficient care of his Lord. He feeds me, he guides me, he restores my soul. This is the testimony of one who has been fed in the lush pastures of God's grace and refreshed with the cool waters of his mercy. And then the closing paragraph. Then, in the face of the darkest trial of all, the overshadowing presence of death, the poet turns from his listeners to look into the face of the shepherd himself. And then it's a quote, "Because you are with me, I am not afraid." Even here in this valley of loss, I lack nothing for or because you are with me. And when my life comes to an end, I will be in your house, O Lord. You are my shepherd. O Lord, you are my shepherd, our shepherd. We continue to thank you for that, to praise you for that, to bless you for that, to express our gratitude, our thanksgiving, that you are our shepherd and that we shall not lack, we will not lack, we do not lack, that you are our all-sufficiency. That you respond and that you meet our every need. As the caretaker, as the caregiver in our hearts and in our lives. We thank you, Lord, for those green pastures and those still waters and the calming effect that they have upon us, upon our hearts, our souls, our spirits, our very lives. We thank you for that restoration, Lord, again and again and again, that continuing, ongoing care and provision and protection that you so thoughtfully and lovingly provide. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us in those paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We know that we're to seek you and your kingdom first and your righteousness, knowing that all else shall be added unto us, which is another expression of what we're saying this morning, as far as the Good Shepherd and his care, your care and provision for us. We thank you that we are righteous, not in ourselves, our own righteousness is as filthy rags, but made righteous through you, O Lord, and your shed blood on the cross and the cleansing power, so that when the Father looks at us, he sees us through that lens. And so we appear to him also to be pure and holy and pleasing in his sight because of you, and only because of you. And Lord, we know that death takes many forms. We tend to think of it when a body ceases functioning and leaves this earth in a sense. But death takes many forms. Takes many forms. Situations such as Nate was talking about before, I think would fit into this category. And a repeated kind of thing over time. When we lose standing in the community, there's a kind of death. When our finances collapse, that's another kind of death. When homes literally burn down, that's another kind of death. When we lose jobs, that's another kind of death. When we suffer failure in various parts of our lives, those are other kinds of death. So we don't only walk through this valley when there's physical death, but we walk through this valley at other times when there are other kinds of death. And yet, each of these times also and as well, we know that you are with us, that you don't leave us or forsake us, that you are faithful, that your mercies, your compassions are new every morning. We thank you for that and for the greatness of your faithfulness. We thank you for all of the unmerited favor, Lord, that you continue to bestow upon us, to shower upon us, to give to us, to share with us. Unmerited, unearned, undeserved. Certainly eventually being with you in heaven. Unmerited. Undeserved, unearned. But because of your great love, we don't go where we deserve, but where we don't deserve because of your great mercy and compassion and love. And Lord, we can't thank you enough for this. Just can't do it. Don't have adequate words, don't have enough time. Eternity doesn't seem long enough. But we try anyway, Lord. We thank you indeed that you are always with us, and we thank you for the rod and your staff. Of course, we prefer the staff, don't so much like the rod, but they're equally good for us, but for different reasons, different purposes, according to your plan, and equally as effective in your wonderful hands, and we thank you for that as well. We thank you for the table prepared before us, whether enemies are present or not. And certainly at this time of Thanksgiving, this season in our year, that we have homes, that we have families, that we have food, that we have drink, that we have shelter, that we have clothing, that we have transportation, that we have jobs, that we have school, that we have friends, that we have church. We are abundantly blessed, Lord, abundantly. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the anointing of your precious Holy Spirit. His presence in our hearts and in our lives. And you had said you would send another counselor, a comforter. And we thank you for his presence, Lord, and we pray for the fullness of that presence, that his peace and power and presence would flow through us and pour out around us wherever we are, as we would walk in the fullness, the freshness, and the freedom of your precious Holy Spirit. And he would walk in us and with us and work through us as we would choose to cooperate and allow him to do so. Our cup runs over again and again and again and again. It's a continuing flow, Lord, for which we thank you. We thank you for that goodness, for that mercy, for that kindness, for that faithfulness, for all of these things that you continue so wondrously to share with us all the days of our lives. And we certainly thank you, Lord, for the final promise here that we shall dwell with you in your house, O Lord, forever and ever and ever. We thank you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We give you honor. We give you glory for who you are, for what you are, for all that you have done, that you continue to do in our hearts and in our lives, for putting up with our nonsense, Lord, and looking beyond it or bringing us through it, leading us, guiding us, directing us, correcting us. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before you, heaven and earth adore you. What a mighty God we serve. In Jesus' name, amen.